Well, I've come equipped today. It's not men's breakfast day. That's next week. So maybe we can use it next week. And I have this thing. Has anyone ever seen a tool like this? Okay, good. A lot more than when I was living in Florida. Well, these were my tools. These are my equipment when I worked for the Park Service, the Wrangell St. Elias National Park. The biggest park in the United States, if you want. Bigger than even Denali. So there you go. That's the park we worked in. And I was the lead for the trail crew. And so what we would do, we would go out for 8 days at a time and we would clear up the trail. 6 foot wide, 8 foot high, so that people could go by. And then, you know, as we cut down the trees that were in the way, we would hide them out of sight, so that they could decompose and become part of the forest. But without these things, I couldn't do my job. It was necessary, especially the Pulaski. I mean, we had to use that all the time. Sometimes they would fly us into remote areas and to places where no one had ever been before. And I wish they would have equipped us with better bug spray. But they didn't, so we suffered anyway. But it's important when you're asked to do something to have the right equipment, right? So I had these things for when I was at the Park Service. But what about when I'm here at church? That kind of equipment looks a little different. It looks like a Bible and a kid's book and an iPad. So the important thing, again, is to have the right equipment, because without the right equipment, you can't do what you need to do. Well, today we're talking about the right equipment and the right person with the right equipment specifically. So I hope you can understand what we talk about today, that your heart is open. Let me pray before we begin. Dear Lord, thanks that we have this opportunity to talk about chainsaws and Pulaskis. Those are really fun things, especially for us guys. But that's not the point. The point is that you have been given the equipment that we need to be able to be drawn near to you. Please open our hearts and minds today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are still going through Psalm 23. So if you want to open your Bibles, Psalm 23 is where we're going. I gave you a hint just then. It's towards the middle of your Bibles, and what we're going to do is the same thing we've been doing all along. We are going to read it together. This time it's out of the New American Standard, so that we can hear the different translations and see how the nuances are. It sounds good. So let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, may God bless the reading of his word. Well, I am glad that you have been able to come today. Psalm 23 is, you could sum it up as David's personal testimony of God's provision for him. It's all about how God provided for David. He called God his shepherd. And that's a very personal thing. The first three verses were about, he is my shepherd and I am his. But then the last three verses were very personal. It's about you and me. I talk to you, my shepherd, and you care for me. So as the psalm kept progressing, we could see how God cared for him more and more and how it made a difference in David's life. Well, sheep, they are totally dependent upon their shepherds. They are dumb creatures. They would lose their way if they were about 10 feet away from their flock. They would get spooked by a squirrel, look around, not know which way to go, and then run off. They can't find food. They can't find water. And when they do find water, it's normally a puddle that has bugs in it. And they've went potty in it. And they're drinking that up. It's not the good water. When they get bugs on their faces, it drives them crazy so that they can't sleep. They can't rest. And they can't find the pasture that they need to go. So it's all totally the shepherd that leads them. And we're a lot like that. We're kind of, I don't know, we think we know what we're doing, but we end up drinking out of the puddle of sin. We think we know where we should go, but we end up going the wrong way. And God, He is out to seek and to save those that are lost. He didn't come to save those that are well, but those that are sick. And we, my friends, are all sick. That's why Jesus was sent by God, the Good Shepherd, for us. Last week we talked about the valley of the shadow of death, and I think a fair number of you were not here. So we have it on the website, and it would be worth listening to. But when we talk about the valley of the shadow of death, there are a few things about it. A valley has an opening and has an exit. The valley of the shadow of death, which the kids were really good at showing. I had them stand over there, and you probably remember, I shone a light on them, and there was a shadow on the wall, and I stomped on their heads. I stomped as a shadow on their heads. Showing us as people, we forget that shadows aren't the things that can hurt us. So it's only the valley of the shadow of death. And the reason we can get through the valley of the shadow of death is because our shepherd is with us. So that's the context of what's going on. When our shepherd's with us, he is equipped to take care of us. And that equipping comes in the form of the rod and the staff. And before we look at that, I'd like to read the next chapter in our book. We have been following the story of Sammy, the sheep, and his shepherd. And his shepherd had finally been able to redeem the poor, defenseless, sickly lamb that he now named Precious. He led them through the valleys of the shadow of death, and now he is continuing the path up to the tables that he has made for them. The tables of food and water, sustenance, and rest. So this one's called Your Rod and Your Staff, They Comfort Me. As the flock continued its climb to the high places, Precious began to worry again. Troubled thoughts were running around wildly in her head. She was quite startled when Sammy waddled up alongside her and said, "Good morning, Precious." Precious was so flustered that her words tumbled out on top of each other. "Is it good? Maybe I should never have come. Do I really belong here? What if the other sheep don't like me? Will I like the high places? What if I get lost? What if something attacks me? What if I fall over a cliff?" "Precious, calm down. Look at our shepherd." And they both looked ahead and saw their shepherd standing on a rock, watching over his sheep. "Can you see what he is holding?" Sammy asked. Precious was perturbed that Sammy asked her such a simple question when she had such a serious problem. "He's holding his shepherd equipment and his rod and his staff," she answered. "That's right," Sammy said. "When I become afraid or agitated, I remember that our shepherd always has his rod and his staff." Precious looked at Sammy. "Well, I don't mean to be rude," she said, "but I really don't know why that should comfort me." "Well, you see, it's like this. On my first journey to the high places, I was pretty stubborn. I wanted to wander off and see the sights. I had taken only a few steps when our shepherd's rod whizzed by me. I scurried back to the flock as fast as my short little legs would carry me. Later, I realized that going my own way will get me into trouble and that our good shepherd will discipline me when I try to wander away." "Well," Precious sighed, "I don't plan to stray on purpose, but I guess it's a comfort to know that if I'm careless and wander off, our shepherd will use his rod to warn me." "And that's not all," Sammy explained. "Another time I was grazing and the rod whooshed by me. I looked up and saw a wolf dart away. I knew that the shepherd had protected me from an attack. Precious cocked her head. Now that's comforting, she said. There's more, Sammy said. One day I was so greedy that I kept eating right to the edge of a cliff, and suddenly I found myself in a free fall over the side. Oh, Sammy, what happened? Precious asked. I landed on a ledge, and I was so frightened that I couldn't make a sound. That afternoon, when the shepherd counted his sheep, he realized that I was missing. He left all the others and searched until he found me. Then he reached his long staff down, he scooped me up with the crook and rescued me. Ah, Precious smiled. Her eyes sparkled. Now I feel peaceful. His rod and his staff comfort me too. Well, the chapter next week we're going to look at is You Prepare a Table Before Me in the Presence of My Enemies. I hope you've enjoyed that, kids. I really like the book. And I think that's a lot to teach even us that are older. Well, I would like to pray before we talk about the shepherd's equipment. And the reason I want to do that is because all of our service up to this point has been talking about searching our heart, being discerning, looking for sin that is deep down inside of us. One of the things that God uses his rod for is to point out those things that are deep, deep down that need to be worked on. I don't want my words to bring guilt upon you. I want to speak only what God wants me to say, the exact words he has ordained for me to say, so that when you hear it, you can say, okay, that's not Ivan putting me down, but it's God through the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart that I need to do something. This is his rod being wrung at me. I need to hear it. So let me pray. God, I ask you especially to help my words to be the exact ones you want so that I am completely removed from this message. That you yourself speak one-on-one to us. And if there are those that have unresolved issues that you want to deal with, God, the Holy Spirit that is inside them, even if he's only allowed to be there just for a short amount of time, help him to be able to talk to their minds and hearts and true healing and restoration be able to begin. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the shepherd's equipment is, it's really important. So I already talked about the trail equipment, right? And I already talked about my equipment that I need for preaching. But shepherds, they need equipment as well. And so they have two things. They have the staff, or it's more commonly the shepherd's crook. And they have their rod. And what they do, they get these two pieces of equipment, they fit them exactly. And they're both used to be able to guide the sheep and to restore the sheep, bringing them back to the shepherd, helping the sheep to realize that the only safe place is with the shepherd. So the very first one we know is the rod. And the rod, this is my very crude rod. It actually will not break when you hit things. But what they would do, they would take a little sapling as the tree is developing, and they would pull it out, and they would start whittling around. You know the base where the roots start to come out is kind of bulbous. So they would start making that into a club-like structure. And the kids, as they're starting to develop into shepherds, they would make that, and they would have it exactly fashioned for their hands. Once that was done, they would start practicing and practicing. It's a lot like target shooting, what we do for archery or shooting guns. And they would fling it at things and objects until they were deadly accurate, because they knew that a rod was important for them to be able to keep their sheep safe. The rod is considered an instrument of punishment in Isaiah 10:5. It's an instrument of authority in Genesis 49:10. It's wisdom in Proverbs 29:15. And it's also for counting sheep, which is Ezekiel 20, verse 37. How many of you have heard the the phrase, spare the rod and spoil the child? Okay. Getting hit with something like this, I don't think is what the object was. What it means is that you spare the discipline, the correction that comes from the rod. The child will be undisciplined. The child will do what they want to do when they want to do it, with whatever they want to do it with. That's what that means. And so the rod, this is sometimes where we got the word the rod of justice, the rod of the law. It finally morphed into the Colt pistol. And that was an extension of the sheriff's arm. Just like the rod is an extension of the shepherd's arm. He would have it stuck to his waist and immediately would know where it is and how to fling it. One of the main things that they would use it for is defense. So these guys would be part of what they're trying to defend their flock from. Coyotes and wolves and cougars, even stray dogs. But if you remember David, King David, before he became king, he killed two animals. Do you remember what two animals he killed? Lion and bear. Good job. Yep, he killed two of those animals. And I'm pretty sure he used his rod to do it. So all through Scripture, this thing called the rod is spoken about. It's the defense that the shepherd has for his sheep. And then often what they would do is, this actually, to break that thought, my granddad, he's older than me. He did this yesterday because he knew I was going to talk about predators trying to take the sheep. So I don't know where he got the sheep, and the tiger looks too happy to be hurting the sheep. But the principle is that the shepherd has to do something about it before the sheep is taken away. Sometimes he would use his rod to bang the bushes around to scare off the snakes or to scare away anything that would spook the sheep because they get frightened really easily. I think one of my kids last week said they were looking at the sheep at Camp Liwa and the sheep was scared of them just looking at them. So that's kind of how it is. So the shepherd needs to defend. Now, what about us? How do we pull it into us as adults? I mean, as humans? Because we're not sheep, right? But sometimes we are. Well, what we have is God's word. God's word was used by Jesus when he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. He quoted exactly from Scripture to be able to stand up to Satan. God says that his word is breathed by him, that is stronger and powerful, more than even a sword. And when we speak God's word out to Satan, that's his defense for us. But God also has another defense, and he uses his angels sometimes. His angels are his messengers. And sometimes he dispatches them to intercede on our behalf, to protect us. But it's not because we are great and because we are lovely, but it's because he is our shepherd and wants to care for us. Then the second thing is, so that was defense. Then the second thing is was correction. And this is now where we get to some heavier things. The important thing is that correction allows the sheep to know their boundaries, to know where they can go and what they can do. Sheep, they have a tendency to go where the food is. So they'll eat weeds. And a lot of times the weeds are poisonous. So what the shepherd will do, he will grab his rod and he will fling it towards the sheep so that it whizzes by their ears when they start to get into that poisonous weeds. When the sheep start to wander astray, when they start to go their own way, when they start to think they know where the next best thing is, the shepherd would take his rod again and swing it towards the sheep with deadly accuracy so that it goes right by its head, so that the sheep is jogged back into reality, remembering that I need to be by my shepherd. He is sending this as a warning to me to come back to him. And the cool thing about sheep is they are wise enough to come back. The bad thing about people is that we are dumb enough to stay. So I think we could probably learn from sheep in that aspect. It's hard because God loves us. And that's not the hard thing. But Hebrews 12:6 says, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves." The Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son and daughter, every man, woman, adult, every child whom he receives. So if God didn't love you, he wouldn't set up boundaries for you. He would just let you do whatever you wanted. But God said, no, that's not where you should be. That's not your best life. Your best life is with me, and I can provide all your needs according to my riches and glory. Sometimes when we don't hear God's rod whizzing by our head, when we don't listen to the words of advice or godly counsel that we're given, when we don't hear what his word has said, we just keep going. God loves us too much to keep us going in that path. One of the things that shepherds would have to do if a sheep was prone to wander, which we all are, but what he would have to do, he would have to break the sheep's leg. And we think that's cruel, right? Because it hurts the sheep. But that's the only way that the sheep would know that it needs to stay with the shepherd. So once the sheep's leg is broken, the shepherd puts the sheep on his shoulders. And for the 3 months that is healing, they spend one-on-one time together. Shepherd and sheep. There was a story, Philip Keller, he's a shepherd, he told of this one sheep that he had was prone to wander. And she continued to try to escape all the time. So he would patch the fences. He would do what he could to mitigate her from getting out. But finally, she was starting to teach her kids the same things. She was starting to show the other sheep the way to get out. She wouldn't accept correction. She wouldn't allow herself to realize that the shepherd was there for her. So he had to put her down. Sometimes we wonder why bad things happen to us. And what I mean is that not all bad things are because of what we've done or sinned, because we live in a terrible world. It has consequences all over the place. But if we are not right with God and bad things happen, I'm pretty sure God is using that to draw us back to him. And if we continue on that path, what will he do? Will he finally have to say, okay, in order for you to stop sinning, to stop and hear me, I'm going to have to do something drastic. I may have to lay you on a hospital bed, fighting for your life so that you can finally listen to me. I may have to bring you home to be with me. That's what the Good Shepherd does with correction. Because the ultimate purpose is to pull us back to him so that he can be with us, so we can be in fellowship together. I hope you don't forget that point. It's really, really important. And then the last thing that the rod does, it's used for inspection, for counting the sheep. In the Old Testament, the word is passing under the rod. So what the shepherd would do with his rod, he would have it out, and he would physically feel the sheep as they pass by him. He would be able to count them. That's probably how the shepherd counted his 100 sheep and realized there's only 99. He knew to go out and rescue that sheep. But the rod was not only for counting. What he would do, and I think I have a picture. Yes, I do have a picture. This is a woolly sheep, and you can tell because he's really puffy. What he would do with his rod is he would part the wool so that he can inspect the body of the sheep. He would use his rod to be able to get to the very lowest part of the sheep to make sure the sheep was okay. A lot of times they would be disease-riddled because of that, or they would have lice or other bugs within their wool. and they would be suffering. But without the shepherd going down and actually opening up that wool and getting down to the heart of the matter, they wouldn't be able to heal. Do you see any parallels for us? God gets to our deepest problems. One thing about wool is in the Bible, wool is said of as sin. If you look at this sheep, a lot of us are like him. We have put so much sin around us. We have a sin bubble that kind of allows everything the Holy Spirit says to us to bounce right off of it. But God says, I'm not leaving you in that state. I'm going to get to the heart of the problem. I want to correct that, not because I'm evil or malicious, not because I want to hurt you, but because my purpose is to draw you to me, to make you more perfect like my son is perfect. So he has to part the sin from our lives to get down to our hearts. And sometimes it really hurts. My encouragement to you is let him. And that's only if you feel like following God is what you want to do. If you don't want to follow God, then why are you here? But if you do, let him do the correction. In this world, there's going to be problems. But the Good Shepherd says that he's overcome the world. If he's overcome the world, let him overcome our problems. That's what the rod, the equipment that the shepherd has, does. Now, another word for rod is staff. They have a few different words that mean rod. But you see, David, he is speaking about two specific words. Therefore, it's not just rod and rod. Your rod and rod come for me. It's your rod and your staff, they come for me. So then there's a total separate and greater meaning that David has for why he would talk about the staff. This one happens to actually be a true shepherd's staff. They only got a true shepherd's staff. And the reason I know it, twofold. I used it on my dog. And my dog fit. And that's cool. But the real reason was that the company actually sells these to people that raise sheep and look at sheep, especially in fairs. And they use it to part the wool. And they use it to guide the sheep. So this is what the shepherd's staff would look like. I know it'd have a crook on the end because it's a perfect size to fit around the neck of a sheep. Or if we are like sheep, it looks like it fits us pretty well, right? Sometimes he would put it around the leg of a sheep. And what's interesting is that in order to help the sheep know that he is there, the ones that were on the periphery, the ones that they were kind of nervous about the shepherd. They didn't really want the shepherd to be by them. What he would do is grab them and pull them close so that he could talk to them, so that he could have a relationship with them. He named them already, and he wants them to know that they are his. He uses it to inspect them, to do a deep and intimate inspection on them, to know who they are as a sheep. And to me, it's kind of crazy and awesome in the same sense that a shepherd loves his sheep that much. It's still the same today where shepherds love their sheep. They're special to them. And I think God's probably put that deep in our heart. Well, what he would do also is that he would use the end of the stick, or his staff, I mean, to gently nudge the sheep. So it would look like this, basically. He's putting it right alongside the sheep. And what that does is that it guides the sheep. It tells the sheep, okay, we're going to go this way next. We're going to go that way next. And for the sheep, they like it because they know that the path is set out for them. They can see which way to go because they feel the shepherd beside them. Here's wool again. Sometimes sheep, they want to go after the next best thing. I think us humans want to go after the next best thing. But as they go in, they go into these thorn bushes that have great flowers, and they stick their heads further and further in until they're completely caught within the thorns because of their wool. So the shepherd has to take his crook, and he has to go, and he has to break out the thorns and go around the sheep and slowly pull the sheep out so that the sheep could be safe again. Again, wool as sin sometimes brings us to be entangled in things. We're so far into sin that we feel we can't reach out to God. But the interesting thing is that God doesn't say, okay, you have to be a perfect person. You have to be a perfect sheep for you to be by me. I've bought you with a price, and I'm bringing you to perfection. So he reaches down and he takes the thorns off of us. In fact, the thorn actually pierced his hands. By his blood, he pulled us out of those thorns to be able to rescue us. He also, with the crook, rescues lost sheep. As the sheep goes, it only wants to do what it wants to do. And lots of times, like in the story, they will go after the next best thing, and sometimes they would fall down a cliff. My brother-in-law, who happens to be here, he said that one of his friends was going hiking one day, and as they were hiking, a storm came up. And after the storm was done, they saw some sheep on the ridge. And the sheep go tumbling, 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 tumbling down the hill. You know, was it because they weren't listening? I don't know. But they get up and shake themselves off and forget what they had just done and start eating again. That's exactly like sheep. They're dumb. But they go for the things that they want to. So the shepherd knows that this is the nature of the sheep. This is the nature of the things I love, and I have to go after them. God says, this is the nature of the humans that I made. Their heart is deceitfully wicked. It's wicked above all things. But I love them anyway, because they're made in my creation. They're made in my image, so I'm going after them. I love them that much. And God wants to have an intimate relationship with us. Sometimes he has to use the shepherd's crook on us to draw us closer to him. And one of the ways that he does it is through the Holy Spirit. When you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, a transformation happens. The old person, the old you, have died. And the new person, the one that is risen in Christ, is living. Well, that new person has the Holy Spirit inside of him or her. He is the one called the Helper that Jesus promised to send. And the Helper is the one that guides, the one that corrects, the one that brings us to the intimate relationship with him. Sometimes we have to deal with the wool again. And the only way to do that is through the Holy Spirit speaking through God's word, getting to our heart. This guy's name, I think, was Timmy. Wool actually isn't too good for the sheep, because if they get too much, they fall over. And if they fall over, a lot of times they get cast, which means they get cast down. They fall on their backs. And then they could die within a few hours if the shepherd doesn't know it. So the shepherd puts it on himself to go through the really frustrating task of cutting all that wool off, because it's better for the sheep. God goes through the task that he's willing to take to cut all the sin out of our lives. And sometimes it hurts, but one thing about having the wool cut for sheep is they have one-on-one intimate time with the shepherd. That's what happens for us when we allow the Holy Spirit to work through the sin. We have one-on-one intimate time with the shepherd. The Holy Spirit guides us. He helps us know that we have been rescued by the shepherd, that we once were lost, but now we are found. We were once blind to the way to go, but we now can see because the shepherd finds us lovable. God's rod and staff, they help us with our fears. Kent talked about the fear of the unknown and the fear of the known. As people, we fear the things we see, and we fear the things we don't see. The shadow of death is sometimes a very scary thing. This past week was a bunch of ups and downs for our family medically. I mean, like, downs. And so those become so overwhelming, you fear them. You wonder how you're going to make it through them. But just as much as that, sometimes you see things and you're fearful of what you think that thing is you saw. But the Good Shepherd came to take away that fear, to give you peace that passes understanding. Not because of anything you've done, but because the Shepherd loves you. So the equipment that our physical earthly shepherds have, the rod and the staff, they're perfect, showing how God uses his equipment, the rod and the staff, to draw us near to him. There is a calm and quiet repose in knowing that he is there to correct even the smallest things, the smallest details of our daily lives. He can be relied upon to assist us in every decision and to be able to guide us into comfort and peace because he is there with us. Let's pray. God, I thank you for shepherds and their willingness to raise sheep. I thank you that that symbolism gives us a deeper understanding of your love for us. We don't understand why you love us sometimes. Maybe we think we do, because we're all that. But the truth is that we're not. But you saw love in us. You saw hope in us. And you went down and rescued us, God. So as we try to think about the sin that is in our hearts, the sin that keeps us from others, please help us to allow you to work in our hearts to draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm glad you came today. I would like to close in a benediction, if you would. So if you would stand, my benediction is found in Psalm chapter 73, and it's verse 23 and 24. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Can you say that? Nevertheless, I am continually with you, my good shepherd. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel through the Holy Spirit, and afterwards you will receive me to glory. My mother-in-law is almost going to glory. One day, you're going to be in that same situation. You will have only one chance in this life to say, do I accept what the good shepherd has done for me? That he's gotten my sin out of the way, down to the heart of the issue, and I realize that it's only him and him alone that can provide for me. That he is the one that saved me and restored me. If you believe that, then this shadow of death, this upcoming death, is not going to be a fear. Not going to be a fear of the known or the unknown, because you know who your Creator is, and you know that he loves you. Go with that encouragement. Again, I'm glad you're here. I'll see you next week.